Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's time now for our pre-opening commodity market report. Sitting in for Dave Dickey this morning is Jeff Bossert. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, everyone. The Labor Department says that U.S. employers cut 345,000 jobs last month, the fewest since September and far less than forecast. But the unemployment rate jumped to 9.4% in May, the highest since a matching rate in July of 1983. In April, the unemployment rate was 8.9%. Analysts had projected a 9.2% unemployment rate for May. While the job losses in May were spread across almost all sectors, the pace of layoffs was slower than in prior months. Since the start of the recession in December 2007, the economy has lost 6 million jobs. At this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 87.72, up 23. The NASDAQ at 18.47. That's down to S&P 500 index at 942. That's up one.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us now with a look at the weekend agricultural weather outlook is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Jeff. Taking a look at the Midwest Corn Belt, we have some dry weather, cool weather over the belt right now. So today's a day where drying will take place, and there will be dry weather through the Corn Belt throughout the day today. However, that's going to change as we go into the weekend, and there's still some uncertainty on exactly how things will evolve even this weekend, and certainly a lot of uncertainty beyond that. It does look like rain will be mainly focused on the northern portions of the Midwest Corn Belt over the weekend, and that actually will be beneficial rain to the northwest in parts of Minnesota and Iowa and back into South Dakota and Nebraska. Those areas actually have been a bit dry lately. The northwest third of the Midwest Corn Belt has been dry. Meanwhile, as you go to the southeastern two-thirds of the Midwest Corn Belt, rain is not desired. So it's going to be a mixed scenario on not only where it rains, but where it will help and where it will hurt. But it does look like the most rain initially will come to the drier areas of the Corn Belt and help the crops along a bit because the planting is all done there. And so western and northwestern areas of the Corn Belt will get some rain over the weekend. Now, as far as wettest areas and furthest behind areas in planting, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, I think most of those areas will stay dry through Sunday. There could be a few spotty showers in central parts of Illinois over the weekend and maybe on Sunday in parts of central Indiana. But by and large, the southern two-thirds of Illinois and Indiana and much of Ohio will be dry over the weekend. Same goes for most of Missouri. Now, far northern parts of Illinois and Indiana could pick up some rain and likely will, especially far northern Illinois north of I-80. But that's an area where there may still be a little planting yet to go, but most areas are planted up that way. So really we're looking at the problems for field work being in northern areas over the weekend. Now, as we go into next week, it does look like some more showers come in farther south. So there may not be enough time for fields to completely dry out before the next round of rain. But there's some uncertainty in the forecast. The rainfall early next week may not be very heavy in southern parts of the two-state area and Ohio. So there's some possibilities here where some fields will start to dry out a bit. And we've been looking at some studies, too. The University of Illinois study out showing that as we keep going here, the yield potential really goes down. The corn that's planted in June carries a severe penalty as far as yields. So and that's compared to the maximum potential, and it may be up to around 40 bushels per acre now. So production losses for corn for this season are likely in Illinois and Indiana because some planting is not done. And whether the planting is late or not at all, that's going to decrease the corn yields for this year in Illinois and Indiana. Now, the northwestern Midwest is planted, so there's going to be a mixed scenario overall. But a couple of the big states here, it's now gotten late enough that statistically speaking, we can safely say that that's going to be a problem. Okay, looking at the northern plains, that spring wheat belt area is going to continue to run cool, and that is not good for crop growth there. They've been pretty cool over the last few months, and they had slow planting. They have slow emergence. Crops are running slow there. So the spring wheat, it's not looking real good right now in terms of temperature and moving it along. Southern parts of the spring wheat belt in parts of South Dakota could use some rain, and it looks like they'll get some over the weekend. In the Great Plains hard red winter wheat belt, hot weather is going to be moving in, and so the wheat is going to mature quickly, and they're going to go right into harvesting in Texas and Oklahoma. But cooler air to the north, so a big range across the hard red belt. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Keezer.
In the Thursday overnight trading session in Kansas City, July wheat opened at 693 and a half, up 3.5 last trade down, 4.5. September at 703 quarters, unchanged last trade down, 1.75. And from Chicago, July wheat, it's opened at 639 and a quarter, up 4 last trade down, 4.5, or up 4, or down 4.5. December wheat at 687 and three quarters, unchanged last trade down 4. July of 2010, 725 and a half, down a quarter last trade, up 1 and a quarter. July corn at 447 and a half, down 1, last trade down 4.5. December corn opened at 470, down 1.5, last trade down 4.75. May of 2010 opened at 488 and a quarter, down 1, last trade down 2.25. July soybeans at 1231, up 1, last trade down 7.5. November soybeans at 1081, down 0.5, last trade down 9.5. January 2010 at 1086, down 3/4, last trade down 7.5. May of 2010 at 1066, down a quarter, last trade up 4.5. July soybean meal at 398.60, down 40, last trade down $3. August soybean meal at 373.60, down 60, down 190. July soybean oil at 40.20, down 14, last trade down 53. Joining us now for a look at the marketplace is Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Jeff.
Overnight futures in soybeans couldn't make new highs for the week and finished well off their highs. Is the market signaling an interim top here?
Well, I don't believe that it is. I think what you saw overnight last night was just a reversal in the American dollar, in the crude oil, and some profit taking. I mean, yesterday was an aggressive and a fast moving day. You have to believe that there are certain people who are going to jump out of here early on Friday and be gone.
Nearby hog futures, they continue to erode in the wake of the economic crisis and higher grain prices. What's going on with the Canadian hog producer, and what does that potentially mean for U.S. grains?
Well, the Canadian hog producer, certainly that particular crop is contracting. What we've seen is we've seen a dramatic drop in the amount of fat hogs coming across the border into the U.S. In the first quarter, we were down 42%. And those hogs don't seem to be showing up anywhere in the slaughter numbers up in Canada. So it tells us that basically they're just not there. The feeder pig numbers coming across are also down. So what that means to us is that there's less pressure on our slaughter facilities, and eventually this thing will begin to turn itself around.
July corn futures saw at 446, gap left on the continuation charts from last October. What's the market trying to tell us?
Well, I think, you know, what the market is just saying is, at the moment, it appears that we have plenty of grain around, and we'll wait until this coming week's USDA report to see if we've seen any improvement in the ethanol. And just like we were just talking about the hogs, there certainly has to be concerns that we may see some reduction again in the feed usage numbers.
What do you expect coming out next week in the supply and demand report?
Well, I expect that we're going to see improvement. I don't know if the USDA is really going to tighten the bean numbers any more than what they already have. We always have that issue of looking like we're not a reliable supplier. But I do believe ultimately we have much tighter stocks on beans than what we're seeing on the reports. On corn, I would expect to see some improvement again in ethanol usage numbers and probably some reduction in the overall feed numbers. It's going to be the wild card is going to be exports, and exports certainly should be seeing some improvement again too, but maybe not in this report.
Anything else you should keep a close eye on?
Well, I think the key drivers when you look at the market right now, and yesterday was a good example of it, are the American dollar and the crude oil. It's the perception that the market has as to the stability of the economy. And, you know, it's going to have its moments, but you can certainly see it is still very, very sensitive to what's going on there. So I think the American dollar, a trade above the 81 level, would probably put us on track again to go back up and test 83. If we close below the 78 level, we're probably going to go back down and try and test that 77 to the 75 area.
Okay, thanks, Jackie.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group in Champaign, Illinois. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3, Urbana. It's 901.